Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
We are, good morning, going to be talking about listening to the messages. Last week we talked about looking at the trees, and we are on a journey walking with the faithful during Advent this season. And so it's more like listen to the messengers, and if you do, you will hear the messages. So we're going to be looking at several messages this morning, and they all work together. God sent messages to Malachi. We're going to be turning to Malachi in a little while. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. So if you know where Matthew is, you go to Matthew and go backwards, and you'll get to Matthew 3 when we're ready to read. But we'll be talking about a message from God through Malachi to the Israelite people, a message leading directly to one that Zechariah shares with his newborn son, John. That's what that first reading was from Bruce this morning, was John. John's daddy talking to him about what he was going to be doing. And then we'll be hearing the one of John himself, the message that he had to bring. And then we will end with the message from Paul to his friends in the Philippian church. And that has continued to be passed down to us today. So that's a lot of messaging. And it is. But because they all speak in the same language, this morning we're speaking English, and we can all understand it in our English language. Wouldn't be bad to have a mix of languages here, actually, but it's all in one language. But the message is clear anyway. So we will, let's see if I can keep you all awake, all right? Did anyone ever give you a message you forgot to share? Ooh, I have some nods here. I don't know if I've ever forgotten to share a message, but I know that probably my husband's least favorite quality, well, I don't know, he probably has a lot of least favorite qualities of me. One of his least is that I give lots of messages. And he has to write the messages on a note and put them next to his phone and or tape them to the garage door so that he sees them before he goes out the next day. And that makes me very happy when he does that. What doesn't make me so happy is when he forgets to take his phone to work, and then I know that he doesn't even have the messages, and so then I know I can't reach him at all. But you understand the idea of those messages. I think they're very important, and if you forget one or you ignore one, you have now taken, there are two steps in that process. Someone's given you a message, you're passing it on to someone, and that someone has missed that message too. So it's pretty important how messages go. When I checked this morning, earlier with our crack team up here in the, not our crack team, our crack audio visual team, Daniel and Matthew up in the back corner. We need to give them a hand every once in a while for what they do, by the way. So I checked with them about this, about putting up a picture for me, and I told him that I need to stop shopping at the Dollar Tree store. You all know the special thing about the Dollar Tree store, don't you, that makes it different from any other store that says dollar on it? At the Dollar Tree store, really, everything only costs a dollar. Right. So a person who shops carefully can save quite a bit of money there. One who falls for all the cute little things and displays just because they're there and they're adorable and you know they're only going to cost a dollar is headed for trouble, and that would be me often, yes. So last week, I stopped in to pick up something that my grandkids, Mason and Maxine, had said that they liked that I got them before. So I stopped to pick them up those, and I saw these adorable little birds. Dan and Matt have a picture of four of them. You want to put that? Oh, there it is. Aren't they adorable? Yes, they're adorable. And I think there's a cardinal in there, maybe? And I don't know, can you tell what they are? Don't let the furry stuff on their breasts throw you. That I added that. I'll explain why. But can you recognize them if you take those out? I think there's not a chickadee, is it? What's the blue one? Anyway, they have namesakes, and here's what they do. This is what captured me about them. Every one of them sings, that's why it's a picture. Every one of them sings its own song when there's a motion anywhere near it. So it chirps its own thing. It's a real recording. I promise you that's true, because I couldn't wait to try them out when I brought them home from the store. And so I took the thing that stops them from doing it off, and I had this lovely cacophony of birds singing on my kitchen table, which was adorable. The only thing is, you can't turn them off. The batteries are inside, and you have to unscrew the whole thing in order to stop them, unless there's another way to do it I haven't figured out. So I had them all going before I realized that. And so I put them on the windowsill, thinking that at night I would put the shade down and there couldn't be any motion anywhere around there that would disturb them. In the morning I would lift the shade, but they would still sit in the window. And I thought that would be pretty okay. The first morning, somewhere between 5 and 6, all of the birds started singing. And I don't get up between 5 and 6, okay? And they kept on singing, and they kept on singing. And I'll give you a little sound of what they sound like, maybe. Tried to stop them. Yeah, those are messages that I really didn't want to hear. And I would have given a lot to tune out those messengers. And sometimes we would prefer not to hear the messages brought by our messengers. When it comes to today's messages, all the messengers were faithful in that they remembered what to say and to do, and they did it. We've heard about messages and messengers in biblical history. In fact, we've been reminded of that this Advent season, of some of those in the Bible who just didn't seem to want to listen to the messages God was sending through the messengers or to respond positively to them. We heard about them all our lives if we've ever been a part of a traditional church. We heard about the fact that the Israelites were led to the Red Sea because God spoke to Moses, and they crossed over and they were chased by the Egyptians who wanted to take them back. And then how the Israelites stopped listening to the messages after God saved them. And one story like that after another we've heard all our lives. And there was the one that we've talked about already, the Babylonian captivity. Well, today, in the passage in Malachi, and you can turn to Malachi, the end of chapter 2, we'll be there in a minute. Malachi's message is considered the last of the Old Testament prophecies, and it leads directly to the life of John the Baptist. You know the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who found out that they were going to have this blessed event. And actually, Zechariah became speechless until after the child was born, after the child had been to the temple to be dedicated, and after the child had been named, and they called him John. So we will go there a little bit later. Back to the message from Malachi, who I guess we could call the singing bird in Jerusalem, maybe. That's the only one I've named. Where the Israelites had finally been allowed to return from Babylonian captivity. The political leaders in Babylon had not only decided after all these decades to send them back, but they'd also given them provisions to help them rebuild their temple. It's an amazing story. So this was the place where they had worshipped God, and they loved God so much, and they'd cried to God for rescue, and through God they'd been blessed with what must have seemed incredible to them on their way back to Jerusalem, and knowing they even had the wherewithal to rebuild the temple. It was a dream, it was a prayer, it was all of that for them. So they returned, and they were able to rebuild their temple. And they were also probably refreshing relationships with each other, and they had restored their relationship with their God. Wouldn't you think whatever message God gave Malachi would be cheerful? It seems the Israelites had been acting in such a way as to stir the need for the singing bird, doing what they always did when they were waiting for God. They wanted God to appear and do things for them and give them solutions, and they already had the answers. We've heard it before. They were disappointed with the rebuilding is the real thing. Nothing was as glorious this second time around as they had heard that it was, or they understood, and so they were discouraged about that. And then some of them were struggling to make ends meet. I expect some of them had trouble with the children. They certainly had trouble with the spouses because they were divorcing and having these problems. And the neighbors were giving them grief, and there's a lot more in that story. But they just gave up. They looked toward God and said, look at what's happening in the world around us, because there was a lot of wickedness. And they said to God, what is it about these wicked people? Do you think they're good and we're bad? It seems like the wicked have free reign in this world and nothing to stop them, and we are the victims. Well, once again, if there was distance between the people of God and God, it wasn't really God who had created it. Even so, God continued to try to work with them through Malachi. So we're going to listen to Malachi's message, which is found in beginning in chapter 2, verse 17. This would be the message that leads to the John the Baptist message. But Malachi came in and was just speaking for God and saying, you guys have got to listen to God. You've got to get your act back together. So that's where he was when he was doing this. And so in 2:17, he says, you've tired the Lord with your words. You ask, how have we tired him? Well, you did it by saying, the Lord thinks anyone who does evil is good, and he is pleased with them. Or you asked, where is the God who is fair? Blaming it all on God. The Lord All-Powerful says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way for me. Suddenly, the Lord you are looking for will come to his temple, the messenger of the promise to always be their God and for them to always be their people. And that God, the one you want, will come. This prophet says, no one can live through that time. No one can survive when he comes. Let me just add here, it's not really about survival. One of your passages probably says no one can stand when he comes. I don't think it's about the second coming, because it leads to the first coming. So it's probably saying that no one will be able to stay the same. No one will stay the way they are, because if you continue on there, it says when he comes, he will be like a purifying fire and a laundry soap. Like someone who heats and purifies silver, he will purify the Levites. Those were the guardians of the temple and the keepers of the law. And he will make them pure like gold and silver. Then they will bring offerings to the Lord in the right way, which they apparently hadn't been doing in these days of discouragement and giving up and all that. So the Lord, it says, will accept the offerings from Judah and Jerusalem at that time when they have been made pure, when they have been made holy, and will accept them as it was in the past. So when we hear messages like this, and if we respond to them as we're encouraged to do, our lives will be purified, our actions will be corrected, and what we bring in our lives will not only be acceptable to God, which is the big thing, to be acceptable to God. But the point of being acceptable to God is that they will also make a difference in the world around us, which is God's goal at all times. That's what we're here for. So this all leads to the Luke passages we heard read this morning. And the first one that Bruce read from Zechariah in Luke 1, verses 68 through 80, which is in your bulletin. So this is where he praised the Lord, the God of Israel. And this came after John was born. Okay? Because God has come to help his people and has given them freedom, Zechariah says. He says he has given us a powerful Savior. Jesus has been born. If John is born, Jesus has just been born. So he's given us a powerful Savior from the family of God's servant David. Or Jesus and John were born the other way around, weren't they? So, but it was in that time, and Zechariah was aware that the Savior had been born and was here. He said, Zechariah says, he said that he would do this through his holy prophets who lived long ago. And he goes back and quotes those Old Testament prophets. He promised he would save us from our enemies, from the power of all those who hate us. He said he would give mercy to our ancestors and that he would remember his holy promise. God promised Abraham, our father, he would save us from the power of our enemies. So we could serve him without fear, being holy and good before God as long as we live. While we're here on earth, holy and good before God. Now, here's the second message for today, which continues in that passage. Zechariah speaking to the very young John. This should give you goosebumps. Now you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will make his people know that they will be saved by having their sins forgiven. With the loving mercy of our God, a new day from heaven will be dawn upon us. It will shine on those who live in darkness, in the shadow of death. It will guide us into the path of peace. Can we say it will guide us into the straight path? The path of peace would be the straight paths. You can imagine what that must have meant to them as people in a world where there was no peace, where the paths everyone was taking were crooked. Do you think you heard it as if it meant something to them? Or do you think they were, again, like us often, and they were thinking of it as being about all the people around them? That message. What does that mean? To guide them into the path of peace. To me, it doesn't sound like leading to salvation alone, but more like a new way of living. The way we live should be in such a manner as to encourage peace. And obviously, that wasn't happening then any more than it is today. Really, all the messages from the prophets, you know, were to God's people. We so often think those messages are to the world who doesn't know God, those who are rejecting God, those who are not accepting God. But the messages are to those who are God's followers. When you think, when will there be peace? Please make your next thought, is there something I can do differently to at least be an instrument of peace, not an instrument of lack of peace? Verse 80 in that passage tells us something important about John and Jesus. So the child grew up and became strong in spirit and lived in the desert until the time he came out to spread the word about Jesus here. There's a Facebook abbreviation, SMH, shaking my head. Thinking if my best blessed gift from God, a child who was going to prepare the way for the coming Messiah, lead the way for the Lord, had gone into the wilderness to spend all of his years eating honey and locusts, and I understand wearing the skin of animals, and didn't come out until years and years later, I'd be SMH, SMH, shaking my head to be that parent. But the real point in that story is that John, in the desert, was unaffected by what was going on around him. He grew up, it says, and became strong in spirit. I discovered something else I didn't know. I suppose this won't come as a surprise to any of you, because my husband said, well, of course that's true. When I told him, I was so taken with my revelation. But John and Jesus never met until the day that John baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit came down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So to me, that makes the second message we heard read this morning by Darlene all the more impressive. Sure, I'm positive John and Jesus knew about each other, Jesus especially, but John would have known the story. His father had told him what was happening. They had never met, and yet there was this incredible acknowledging, this reverence, this high regard from John for Jesus. And here it is one more time. Listen to the messenger so you'll hear the message from Luke 3, 1 through 6. At this time, I'm starting in verse 2. I'm skipping all of those names. At this time, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went all over the area and around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of changed hearts and lives for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, now here's John, this is a voice of one who calls out in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make the road straight for him. Every valley should be filled in, and every mountain and hill should be made flat. Roads with turns should be made straight, and rough roads should be made smooth, and all people will know about the salvation of the Lord. This is what they did for royalty. Straight path to the king, this straight path. I'm running a little long this morning, and so I want to say this. I sense a theme in all the lectionary passages for this Advent season. The next 2 weeks will be a little different, but there's this current running through them, and it goes kind of like this. If I were to imagine God sending one of those little birds down to chirp my ears off, I think the message from me would be something like this. You know, you and your people know these stories. You've heard them all your lives, and you do shake your heads at the Israelites of the Old Testament because they just kept hearing the prophets' messages sent. And they kept turning away, lagging behind, becoming discouraged, and wondering where I was when I was there all along. But they were pulling away. You and the people of Cape Elizabeth know these stories, and you can't understand what they did. The stories from Luke, you know, too. You revel in them because they are the stories leading the salvation which would come through the sacrifice of Jesus dying on a cross. And you've taken that message from those stories for yourselves. You understand them this way. John led the way for Jesus. Jesus led the way for you. And now you are here to lead the way for others. And then I can hear God saying, but Pastor Gloria, stop. Listen. Hear the message and make sure that you all hear this one. The message is about the paths that will be made straight. If the paths must be made straight, then there's something wrong with the paths you're on now. At least the ones that aren't straight need to be straightened. They leave something to be desired. God might say, I've sent all of us, I've sent you and them, I've sent you all what you need to rebuild your lives, to keep your temple holy, to start again as the Israelites did when released from captivity and returned home. All straight paths lead to me, and only by following my ways will your world be in peace. Don't leave today. Don't leave today, I hear that voice saying, without remembering, I don't send them down crooked paths. I wouldn't do that. If we want straight paths, if we want a peaceful existence, then we must consider how to make our way straight for the people around us to see and for the world to begin to change. And then I think God would have me share with you the last message, which we all need to hear, just as much as, and we need to listen carefully to it. We've heard it many times before. It comes sort of as a benediction. We're not ending now, but it is from Paul to his people in Philippians. This is my prayer for you, that your love will grow more and more, making our paths straight to God. That isn't in there. I just added that. Sorry. That you will have knowledge and understanding with your love. That you will see the difference between good and bad. And you will choose the good. That you will be pure and without wrong for the coming of Christ. For, this isn't in there either, it is possible. It is possible to be pure and without wrong because of Jesus. And that you will be filled with the good things that are produced in your life by Christ to bring glory and praise to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.